Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men and drew swords to break through even into the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him a burnt offering upon the wall. Wow. How far from God are those folks?
Oh, yeah.
Why is the judgment coming on them? Oh, we're losing the battle. Go get my oldest son. But he's captain of one of our regiments. That's all right. He's my oldest son. We will sacrifice him to our God, and our God will give us power.
It'll do the trick.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, right? That'll do the trick. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and return to their own land. You're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. Understanding the Bible, chapter 4 of 2 Kings. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Wow. This a little lesson here in economic prosperity and devastation here. You got to realize how to deal with your finances. This is a prophet of God, a man of God. God doesn't want you to be in debt. He doesn't want you to use credit. He wants you to look to Him for the things you need. And if your heart is falling after Him, the things you want, He'll give to you. Well, this prophet got himself into some debt. So he's a Christian, and the gold standard we said of the heart of 100%, he's down there 55, 56%. Yeah, he's falling after God. But he's trying to make his own way through this world while falling after God. You follow after God, God will guide you through this world in all aspects. And this brings me back to that story I tell sometimes. I was in this holiness church up in Maryland when I was in the Army. And the pastor was out sick that day, and the deacons were having a deacon day where they each take a few minutes on the pulpit, and let's give God the blessings for our prosperity day. So I remember one of them got up there and he says, I give God all the glory and honor because I needed a riding lawnmower really bad. Oh, yeah. And so I went in, I was in Sears, and they had one on sale in Sears. Nice one, 12 horsepower. And I went over there and laid my hands on that riding lawnmower and prayed. And I filled out a credit application, and 10 minutes later, it was mine.
Yes, sir.
It was on its way to my house. Praise God.
Yeah, a miracle.
It was a miracle. I'm sorry.
I mean,
that's absolutely absurd. Do not pray to God and then go finance it. 39% interest, a riding lawnmower. You truly need a riding lawnmower. Follow God with all your heart, and one will fall off of a truck in front of your house, bounce 3 times, and come to a safe landing, and then crank up in front of you.
That is how it works.
It is how it works.
Yep.
I got stories, man.
Me too.
I had a fellow out here at the campground who was being a handyman for me, and he was living in a camper there. And unbeknownst to me, the story's even deeper. I got him a little computer so he could go on the internet and keep himself occupied in the evenings. Well, he immediately went on Craigslist and started selling my stuff.
Oh, God.
And And he's selling, I mean, there's a lot of stuff scattered over all over the place here, so I don't even notice for months, right? And then he sells the extension ladder that we've been using on a daily basis. Where is the extension ladder? So we're searching the place, and I'm questioning all the campers and all of us. Oh, we seen Billy Bob and some other guy load that in a truck about midnight the other night. What? He'd sold the extension ladder, right? So it's come to my attention. I dealt with him, got him out of here. I tell you what, that was a time in my life when I was at a high mark following God. My heart was focused on him, and I was, you know, I'm not at 100%, guarantee you. If I was at 78%, I'm thinking, man, that's a high mark. I tell you, it was within the week, a ladder ended up in the ditch off the highway right in front of my mailbox. And it was just like the ladder that I had, and it was totally unharmed. It fell off the truck, landed in the ditch, was totally unharmed. My brother-in-law came by and says, "That's your ladder in the ditch up front?" Said, "What? No." Drove up there. Said, "Oh my gosh! Thank you, Lord." It came to me. And thank you, Lord. I can believe this.
Yep.
Absolutely. I got one more story to tell. Years ago, money was tight. And I started selling, I'd been selling fishing memberships, one-year membership for $200. And it was almost Christmas time. And I don't want to say I needed. I wanted $600 to take care of Christmas, my child. And I tell you, these two cars drove up one day. And this man got out. And then three of his children got out the other car. "Oh, we understand you got fishing memberships." "Yes, absolutely. How much are they?" $200 a year. And he says, "Well, I'd like one. And my son wants one. And my daughter wants one." And I'm thinking, it was unbelievable. And the biggest thing is they filled out the membership right there, paid me in cash, and I never seen those folks ever again. Never came fishing one time. They're angels among us, carrying out God's duties, the needs of his people who follow him with all his heart, all their heart. And if you do that, you don't fill out the credit application, lay your hands on the lawnmower, and it comes to your house. Because this prophet here has done that. And now he's died, and the creditors are coming. And back in those days, they would take your children and make slaves of them. And that's where they're at right now with this lady. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." So this prophet who had gotten himself in debt obviously did not manage money well. He's died, and the house has no valuables, but he's in debt, probably hitting the video gambling machine down at the little shop next to the temple there every Friday.
Yeah.
Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Go borrow every pot and bucket that you can get from your neighbors. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. So she had one little pot of oil. And oil was very valuable, olive oil, back then. Still today, a little bottle costs you $14, $15. Mm-hmm. So he brought in all these empty jugs and buckets, and she took her little half a quart jar, and she started filling these 5-gallon buckets. And it never stopped. God's blessings never stop. As long as your heart follows Him. Her heart was following God because she was looking to God's man for help. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt. Live thou and thy children of the rest." Wow. It was not even just enough to pay the debt. Mm-hmm. It was enough to live on after that.
Retire.
Yes. And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So he passes by this way a lot, and every time she offers him food. Very nice. So he makes it a habit of when he goes there, he passes by there. She said unto her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." There's a sermon in every verse in this book. When you go somewhere, Christian, does anyone perceive that you're a holy man of God or a woman? Does that just come out of your everyday actions and the ways that you handle yourself? Or are you just one of the masses that passes through? Very important. Outwardly appearance. What is baptism all about? That's an outwardly expression. I follow Jesus Christ. Where's your baptism every day when you're out in the market? You're at Walmart. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in there. Let's make him a little apartment on the side of the house. So when he comes, he can be here. Everybody wants a holy man in their house. And it fell on that day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call me Shunammite. Call this Shunammite." Until he had called her, she stood before him. And when he had called her, she stood before him. Wow, King James is tying my tongue today. All right. Says, "Call the woman." So he goes in, he lays in the bed, and he said, "Call the woman." And he said unto her, "Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? So how can I repay you for all your kindness? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host?" She answers, "I dwell among mine own people." And he said, "What then is to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." Wow. This old lady here said, how do we show kindness to her for her kindness? And his servant says, "Well, you know, they look like they're living good. They seem happy. They have no child, though." Okay, well, it's been done before. You can have a child at 78 years old, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, according to this, yes.
And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. I'm old and withered. I know that ain't happening." There we go. A woman who follows after God doubts in her heart the abilities of God. Christian, we do that every day, do we not? It's all about the level that your heart is striving to follow God. That 100% mark that Jesus Christ showed. You know, has any other man hit 99%? Maybe Moses, nobody else, especially in modern times. Moses and Enoch, but they were not at 100. And the woman conceived and bare a son, at that season, that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. Brain aneurysm, possibly. All for a reason. Kid comes down with a horrible headache. Take him to his mom and he dies. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. Why are you going to the man of God? It's not a religious holiday. And she said, it shall be well. She did not even tell her husband that he had died. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Get this ass at a gallop and don't stop unless I fall off, okay? Mm-hmm. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? Run out there and see how she's doing. She answered, it is well. When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. The man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. So, being a man of God and his heart falling after God, he perceives her soul is in distraught, but God has not yet told him why. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? I didn't ask you for a son, and now I got one. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. So he sends his servant with his staff, says, go lay it on the child. And the mother stays there. And he says, you ride hard. Don't even look at anyone on your way. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. It didn't appear to work. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come unto the house, behold, the child was dead. And laid upon his bed, and he went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. We see Elijah, the man of God, probably batting about 88 on that scale, which is high. Ever achieve 88? Man. But not a 99%, you know, not to where he could hand his staff to his servant and fix the problem. And he went up. What did Jesus say to the man? Oh, please come heal my daughter. Yeah. Just go home. She's healed.
Yeah, it's fine.
He's batting 100. No, he's batting 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his eyes upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Very similar to Elijah. Remember we talked about that, how he laid his whole body on the child? Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, a heart after God, a man full of faith, but just not quiet enough to speak the child back to life or to just simply touch the child back to life. And I'm sure, back in Elijah's case, I'm sure it began with the touch of a hand. Rise up, my child. More touches, touch of both hands. Rise up, my child. Please, Lord, I know this is supposed to happen. I know you can do this. Lays his whole body on the child. Rise up, my child. And the child awakes. And is that a lack of faith that you and I, Christian, have in our daily walks? No. That is a minute lack of faith. Ours is a colossal lack of faith. When you get up to that level of following God with all your heart, even a minute lack of faith is enough to cause you to have to go to different steps and more involved steps to get what you know will happen because you know God will do it. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched itself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. The child opened his eyes and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shulamite woman. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And Elisha came again. Now, back to that bowing down. We talked about that. Oh, I don't know. You bow down to a man. You bow down to the office that man is holding. That man is the highest ranking servant of God on earth at the moment. And he wields the power of God. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. There was a dearth in the land. And there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servants, set on a great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine. It wasn't much growing, it was a big old drought going on. Gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. He wasn't sure what he had gathered. All he knew, there wasn't nothing that he knew was edible out there. So he gathered up all sorts of things. You know what's interesting? I come from farm country. You can have a drought, and the stuff you want to grow doesn't grow, but the weeds still, they don't even seem to notice that the drought is there. Somehow. Because those were a curse put onto this world. Do you remember back in the garden? The ground will bring forth thistles and things that will hinder you. They even grow in the drought. They're the last things to die. And most of them are not edible. The only reason we're not eating them, I mean, if there was some sort of goodness in crabgrass, I'm sure we'd be harvesting it and there'd be crabgrass pottage at your local cafe. So they poured them out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot. This is poison, man.
Yeah.
I've only eaten half a bowl. I'm starting to feel really weird. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal and cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. So, as there is with all things, it can be evil. It can be bad. But the finger of God touches it. It can become good and good for you. The man of God simply added a little bit to it. And it became good for them to eat. And that's what the Christian is supposed to do. He's supposed to find these mundane, these slightly gray people, or these dark people, and just add a little bit to them. And it begins by, when you're out and about, do they recognize that you are a man of God just by your stature and the way you hold yourself? And I'm not talking about quoting scripture to people. That's the biggest turnoff ever was. out in public. Oh, God bless you. Let me read a scripture to you. Mm-hmm. You know what? That dude there is going to walk away and think, oh, man, I hope I don't meet him here anymore. You know? Be friendly, happy, joyful. You know? Have a little conversation. End your conversation with, have a blessed day. God bless you, sir. You know, that there will ring in their ears until they wonder why you were so happy. Maybe he's a man of God. Maybe there is something in him that I want to get in me. And there came a man from, here we go with one of them words. Most terrifying thing in this Bible is the names of places. There came a man from Baal Shel Elishish. No, I didn't get it. Baal Shel Isha. Baal Shel Isha. And brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves and barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set this before? 100 men? It's not enough here for all them. And he said, again, give thy people, they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord, and every one of them got their fill. Nothing is beyond the power of God. You got to remember that in your daily lives. You got to hold your heart as high as possible. You got to strive after God with your heart, because that's what you will be judged with when you stand before him one day. Not by what you said in church, not by a list on a roll. That'll be burned. It'll be your heart. You've been with David and Jonathan, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Every day is a good day to be with you here, and we'll see you later.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.